Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. That's what that is when you hear that bell. And I would encourage you at this time to get your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 9. We're in a study of the great men and women of the New Testament, and we're looking at that great man named John. Now, this is John, the brother of James, the one that became an apostle of Jesus Christ. And if you'll remember that John was one time called by Jesus, James and John, the sons of thunder, which to me, I have said on this program, may have been a reference to their father Zebedee and his thunderous voice across that lake of Galilee where he as a fisherman raised those boys. But it's generally thought that this had to do something with the character of James and John. As we're studying John, we're talking about John as the apostle of love. But that comes later. When John was with Jesus, he sometimes exhibited those traits that might justify him being called a son of thunder. And one of those times was when Jesus was passing through Samaria. Now, this is going to be an interesting account in Luke chapter 9 because Jesus is going to encounter prejudice. Prejudice of the Samaritans against him simply because he was a Jew going to Jerusalem. But then there's another prejudice he's going to encounter, and this is from his own disciples, James and John, who are there with him. And their reaction to that prejudice is something else that Jesus did not approve of. And so we'll look at that in John chapter 9. You know, we talk about prejudice today and racism and other such things as that, where one group despises another group. And I think it's good to remind us that those things are not new, and we need to guard against those kinds of things among ourselves. And so in just a moment, we'll read that, John chapter 9, beginning in verse 51. But before I get there, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And our teacher is an old preacher, goes by the name of E.A. Elam. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that he had written for the Sunday schools of July the 2nd, 1923. Now turn in your Bible, if you will, to Luke chapter 9, and I'll begin reading in verse 51, and we'll go on down to verse 56. And here's what the text says, and I'm reading from the American Standard Version of 1901. And it came to pass, when the days were well nigh come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. I've lost my place. Here we are, verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we bid fire come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. Now let me read to you from Elam's notes. And he headed these notes with this head, the effects of prejudice. And it came to pass when the day was well nigh come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Nothing could move Jesus from his accomplishing the will of God that he should die in order to save the race. As this tragic time drew nigh, he was the more determined to face death in Jerusalem. He also teaches that all persons and all things must be left when they stand in the way of one's following him, and that he must obey at all cost. A certain Samaritan village refused Jesus a night's lodging. This was done through prejudice. Jesus was a Jew, and the Jews as such had no dealings with the Samaritans. A Samaritan woman was very much surprised that Jesus should ask of her a drink in John chapter 4. Let me read from the book of John chapter 4, and I'll read verses 1 through 9. It says, "When therefore that the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs pass through Samaria." Now this time Jesus is going north through Samaria. We're reading in Luke where he's going south through Samaria, but this time he's going from south to north, from Judea to Galilee. And it says in John chapter 4 and verse 5, "He cometh to a city of the Samaritans called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." That was surprising to that woman that Jesus would even speak to her. And that is because of the animosity that existed between the Samaritans and those of and the Jews, particularly those of Judea. It says it was because he set his face as he was going to Jerusalem that these Samaritans denied Jesus the ordinary rites of hospitality by refusing to allow him to spend the night in their village. This was a shameful exhibition of prejudice. When James and John, the sons of thunder, saw this, they asked if their Lord willed that they should call down fire from heaven and consume this village. Jesus rebuked James and John and went to another village. Christians have not the spirit of persecution. The tearing down and burning up spirit is not the spirit of Christ. Christians are forbidden to take vengeance. Let us learn a lesson. Jesus neither sought vengeance nor brooded over the wrong he had suffered. On the way to the other village, a certain man said to him, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Matthew 8 and verse 19. And it says, a scribe said this. This certain man and the scribe may be the same person, but not necessarily so. This man was no doubt in earnest, but did not know all that was implied in following Jesus. Now, we're going to turn to another passage here about the women at the cross. And this is found in John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. And I'll read that at this time. John 19 and verse 25. "These things therefore the soldiers did. But thou wert standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home." We read in John 19:25, "These things therefore the soldiers did." The things that are mentioned above in John 19. "But while the soldiers were doing these things and watching Jesus, there was standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Matthew 27, verses 55 and 56 says, "And many women were there beholding from afar who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee." All these, a silent, tearful crowd, were there in sympathy for Jesus, demonstrating woman's truest and devotion, trueness and devotion. Luke chapter 23:49 says that there were also with him all his acquaintances. In verses 26 and 27, we read that when Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciple John standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son," and unto John, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour the disciple took him into his own home. John understood what Jesus meant. He was true and brave and devoted, and he tenderly cared for Mary as a son in his own home. On the cross, Jesus thought of his own mother and provided for her future comfort and impressed upon all children the duty to honor their parents. And now, in studying John's life, we're turning to one of the epistles that John wrote, for he wrote three of them, and the first one is 1 John. And I'll read to you 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. And here we find the elderly John saying, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." We can see in these three instances, from John calling down fire from heaven upon the Samaritans, to John taking care of Jesus' mother, to John beseeching us of love, how that the doctrine of Christ had penetrated the heart of John and made him a better man. Beloved, let us love one another. It is supposed that these verses were added to this lesson because John was the beloved disciple who loved Jesus, whom Jesus loved, and who showed his love for Jesus as well as for Jesus' mother in taking her into his own home and caring for her. This is love. Love is not a mere sentiment, a kind and good feeling simply, but it is an active principle. Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." And again, "If a man love me, he will keep my commandments. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my words." John 14:21-24. Let me read that to you from the American Standard Version. John 14:21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him." Judas Iscariot said unto him, "Lord, what is come to pass, that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not unto the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." John chapter 5 and verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." No obedience to God, no love for God. To love men is to treat them as God directs. Hereby do we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. Now, we're going to complete this Sunday school lesson in our next class, so you put a bookmark there in this passage of John chapter 4, and we'll return.